The Diary of a God by Barry Payne. During the week there had been several thunderstorms. It was after the last of these, on a cool Saturday evening, that he was found at the top of the hill by a shepherd. His speech was incoherent and disconnected. He gave his name correctly, but could or would add no account of himself. He was wet through, and sat there pulling a sprig of heather to pieces. The shepherd afterwards said that he had great difficulty in persuading him to come down, and that he talked much nonsense. In the path at the foot of the hill, he was recognised by some people from the farmhouse where he was lodging, and was taken back there. They had indeed gone out to look for him. He was subsequently removed to an asylum, and died insane a few months later. 2 years afterwards, when the furniture of the farmhouse came to be sold by auction, there was found in a little cupboard in the bedroom which he had occupied an ordinary penny exercise book. This was partly filled in a beautiful and very regular handwriting with what seems to have been something in the nature of a diary, and the following are extracts from it. June the 1st. It is absolutely essential to be quiet. I am beginning life again, and in a quite different way, and on a quite different scale, and I cannot make the break suddenly. I must have a pause of a few weeks in between the two different lives. I saw the advertisement of the lodgings in this farmhouse in an evening paper that somebody had left at the restaurant. That was when I was trying to make the change abruptly, and I may as well make a note of what happened. After attending the funeral, which seemed to me an act of hypocrisy as I hardly knew the man, but it was expected of me, I came back to my Charlotte Street rooms and had tea. I slept well that night. Then, next morning, I went to the office at the usual hour in my best clothes and with a deep band still on my hat. I went to Mr. Toller's room and knocked. He said, "Come in," and after I had entered, "Can I do anything for you? What do you want?" Then I explained to him that I wished to leave at once. He said, "This seems sudden after 30 years' service." "Yes," I replied, "I have served you faithfully for 30 years, but things have changed, and I have now 300 a year of my own. I will pay something in lieu of notice, if you like, but I cannot go on being a clerk any more. I hope, Mr. Toller, you will not think that I speak with any impertinence to yourself or any immodesty, but I am really in the position of a private gentleman." He looked at me curiously, and as he did not say anything, I repeated, "I think I am in the position of a private gentleman." In the end, he let me go, and said very politely he was sorry to lose me. I said goodbye to the other clerks, even to those who had sometimes laughed at what they imagined to be my peculiarities. I gave the better of the two office boys a small present in money. I went back to the Charlotte Street rooms, but there was nothing to do there. There were figures going on in my head, and my fingers seemed to be running up and down columns. I had a stupid idea that I should be in trouble if Mr. Toller were to come in and catch me like that. I went out and had a capital lunch, and then I went to the theatre. I took a stall right in the front row and sat there all by myself. Then I had a cab to the restaurant. It was too soon for dinner, so I ordered a whisky and soda and smoked a few cigarettes. The man at the table next me left the evening paper in which I saw the advertisement of these farmhouse lodgings. I read the whole paper, but I have forgotten it all except that advertisement, and I could say it by heart now. All about bracing air and perfect quiet and the rest of it. For dinner I had a bottle of champagne. The waiter handed me a list and asked which I would prefer. I waved the list away and said, "Give me the best." He smiled. He kept on smiling all through dinner until the end. Then he looked serious. He kept getting more serious. Then he brought two other men to look at me. They spoke to me, but I didn't want to talk. I think I fell asleep. I found myself in my rooms in Charlotte Street next morning, and my landlady gave me notice because she said I had come home beastly drunk. Then that advertisement flashed into my mind about the bracing air. I said, "I should have given you notice in any case. This is not a suitable place for a gentleman."